Hello, beautiful. And what I really want to know is, what is good in your life today? I'm Kia, and this is another episode of the Female Veterans Podcast. Today, I have with me such a lovely woman. She served in the United States Army for 13 years. She goes all around the world doing massage as a volunteer just to help people, which is incredible. And she is starting a business, which we're going to talk about later. And anyone who does massage will be particularly interested in. So please welcome to the Female Veterans Podcast, Baby Lee. Welcome, Baby Lee.
Hi, thank you, Kia. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to hear your story. And so my first question for you is going to be, what made you join the military?
I joined the military at an older age. I was 20, I believe, when I joined. And I originally wanted to go through West Point. Mm-hmm. I didn't get in. I didn't make it. My grades weren't good enough. And I still wanted to join, and I had family obligations that kept me away. And it wasn't until after I got out that I realized why I joined. I didn't even realize this, but I didn't have a vision. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a goal. I didn't have a concept of how to survive in the world. And I wanted to give that responsibility to someone else. Mm-hmm. So I thought, the military, these people in uniforms are doing something too easy. So I will give the responsibility for when I wake up, when I go to bed, what I eat, what I say, how I dress. Everything that I am responsible for is given to another individual. They are now responsible for me. I never grew up. I was still a child. Mm-hmm. Not a child in age, but a child in spirit, a child in mind. Because I did not have the responsibility nor the fortitude to have a vision. I also didn't have the mentors. I would say that much too. So I was seeking mentorship. I needed a strong individual to guide me, and I didn't have that where I was. You know, people who come from two family homes who were raised with dignity and respect, they don't tend to join the military.
That's an interesting insight. What was it like for you growing up?
Growing up was beautiful. I got to say, I was absolutely blessed because I know who my mother is. You know, I had a roof over my head. I was never hungry. That is true. Blessings.
Absolutely. And,
you know, of course, there's going to be hardships. I absolutely, hands down, have my backstory of struggle. I joined because I did not have a vision for my future, and I gave all that responsibility to another person, Uncle Sam.
Right. A lot of us do. Mm-hmm. So what was boot camp like for you?
I remember distinctly being told, heads down, eyes down, people just getting yelled at, screaming. I've seen video footage of people going to boot camp. I can't relate to it. I feel like it's a little touched. Everything is touched. Everything's either exaggerated or just not truthful. You absolutely have to go through it. And just being squished in a bus. To call this illegal, immoral thing a bus, it was just like a canteen, and everyone was squished into it. I remember being told that this is where I will be, so get used to it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great. I get a bed of my own. Boot camp was thrilling because I made friends. I no longer am friends with them. You know, social media wasn't that popular when I joined. Mm-hmm. And cell phones were also not that very popular. Like, people had landlines.
Yeah,
so I don't know where they are. But I do know that my soul recognizes their souls, and we share memories that are irreplaceable.
Yes.
People joined and they didn't finish. I witnessed that. It was a time that I have captured every moment in my mind and in my heart, and I wouldn't trade it.
Yeah, I feel like that too. Boot camp was really special for me. And just like what you said, the friendships were so incredible. And just like you, I don't know where any of those girls are. But I feel that the whole soul recognition and the heart recognition, you know, it's one of those things where you have that experience. And if I saw one of those girls and we happened to recognize each other, it would be like, oh my God, boom. Where have you been? Tell me your life story. Like, we would just chat for like a million hours, not want to leave each other's side. It would be amazing to see any of them. In fact, one of them actually saved my military career outside of boot camp. But that's another story for another day.
Please, interesting.
But if Woolsey hears me, Sunny Woolsey, girl, I've never forgotten you. If you ever listen to this podcast, reach out to me.
Tompkins, reach out to me. Tompkins from New York. Upstate girl, reach out to me.
I love that. Awesome.
Yes. I miss you.
Right? Thanks, girl. Thank you.
I don't know your first name, but I know your last.
I think Woolsey was from New England somewhere, Connecticut or Massachusetts, but I'm telling you, that was my girl. So, and I had many, so as you probably had many connections from boot camp, from your boot camp sisters, I'll call them.
You know, I have a beautiful connection with the men and the women. And when I even overhear someone being in the military, my heart connects right away. My heart just connects because I know what they went through.
Yes.
And I know what they're continuing to go through. And I'm not even talking about boot camp, girl. I'm talking about all that other stuff.
We're gonna
right?
get into
I
it.
Know. All that other in between. But I gotta say, you know, I went in during the last phase of the BDUs. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I went through before they switched all the regulations and made it soft, and they were handing out like sympathy cards. And
right.
So let me tell you,
that happened.
God, I was like, what is going on? What, hang on. They're not allowed to yell at you. What?
Wait, you can sit out. You have a stress card.
You have a stress card. How are you going to survive without stress? Stress builds you.
Yeah.
It builds you. Hang on. You know what? I got to pause. I don't want to say the wrong thing, but it's a different military. Yes, because they, different. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to keep it. That's for another time. That's another podcast.
Another day, girl. We'll get all into all of that.
Yeah.
So this brings me to my next question for you. And I am just dying to hear all about your military experience. What was that like?
Now that I've been out, it's like a long lost lover. You know, like I miss my military.
Yeah, because you're newly out, right?
I'm new. I'm a new one. And you know, I miss putting on the uniform, my boots, you know. So I will say, if you want to hear all about my military career, that's several different segments, several. So,
well, what you got? I got time.
We got a subcategory. We need to talk about relationships, all that.
This is about you, girl.
Well, you know, the ability to see the future, I could not see before had it not been for the military. My whole intention of joining the military was so that I can see the future, my future, that is. Where will it go? Will I make this my career and then collect on my retirement and die? Really, what I thought life was before going in is that I retire at 60. you know, all the incentives of joining the military is that you get this, you get that, you know, we'll pay for this and we'll pay for that. Now that I'm making real money outside the military, which I would actually say outside of mom and dad's pockets, right? Uncle Sam, it's, I can see now that those incentives meant nothing because they, it's never about the money. It's never about any of that, but you do join because you will get, you know, a home. You will be able to pay for yourself. You will be able to do the things that you want to do, like travel, work, have friends. But you can get so much more outside the military. But I would have never saw that had I not gone into the military. So I could not see that before. It was the time to take that step to build my business. I had the confidence to do this. I would not, you know, I am very, I'm internally grateful that I was able to serve this country and serve it faithfully mm-hmm. for the time I was in. I give credit to the military for bringing me here. I learned many lessons. There's several lessons I've learned. And I will say right now, the one I'm sharing with you is my confidence in myself. Now, that did not come from one day, one month, my first year. I can't give you a specific time point, but I did learn that I am enough.
That's beautiful. And you got that in the military? That's impressive.
I gotta say. Oh, we struggled, didn't we? Oh, yeah. Let's hear your story, girl. Oh, sounds like a heartbreaker.
Little by little. Okay. This is about you, girl.
Okay, it's about me. Mm-hmm. But I did. I let me tell you, I did not learn that because it, no one can take credit for my lessons besides me. It's if I was willing to receive it. And I was not so a speaker true. Until years later. Mm-hmm. It took me years later. Like I said in the beginning, I did not realize until I got out why I joined. I would say ETA dates were coming closer. It was going through my head, should I re-up or not? And I saw why I joined. I joined the military because I wanted to look good. I wanted to be important in other people's eyes. I cared what other people thought of me. Mm-hmm. You know, any type of a service field, you automatically have respect. Automatically. It's not you. It's the position you hold. And I wanted to hold that position because I didn't understand that it was already in me. So I went out and I took the route that would give me that ability instantly.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Totally. Mm-hmm. So you were looking for validation outside of yourself and you, it's so easy to get it from what's on your arm, what's on my left arm,
what's on my right arm, what's on my chest, mm-hmm. the fact that I have a rank. I mean, I could be mixed match. You wouldn't even know. I just go into the surplus store, but stolen valor all day. And
oh my God.
But the fact that I have this, not only do I have it, I got a team to back me up that I earned this. Mm-hmm. So that was another thing. And let me tell you, I cannot give you a specific story, but I will say it was an endless amount of time that I served. It was my lifetime in the position I held in the military that I realized.
What was your job?
I was a 74 Delta. That's a chemical engineer specialist. It just, mm-hmm. it's just a fancy name saying, oh, I clean up that anthrax over there. Oh yes, 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 yes. That's anthrax. Shit, get out. So.
Well, I'm going to give you all the props in the world. It deserves that fancy name, girl, because I am not cleaning up anthrax. If there is a chemical spill, I am not the girl you call. And so I'm going to give you mad props. Like, if you need to know what not to take when you're taking a certain prescription, like if you're taking something and maybe you shouldn't take alcohol with it, or if you want to know what this medication does to your body, I'm the girl you talk to about that.
Okay.
As far as cleaning up like spills of chemicals, not me. So much props to you.
Okay.
I have a question. So in your unit, were there a lot of girls?
There's never. I think I only ever seen females in the Air Force and Coast Guard, Navy. Like I've never seen a unit filled with females that I've been a part of, unless they're like in the medical field, I think. Like,
yeah,
I think medics have like lots of girls, but when I think of all of the branches united, I would say, yeah, of course, we're seldom few, and because of that, we're also not recognized by the civilian world when we come out. Mm-hmm. We get the less amount of opportunities, yes. The less amount of respect, the less amount of praise, and if we could go. Let me jump away really quick. I remember just like dating, like I would date like a civilian guy and they're like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm in the military. And I dated these men that just saw me as like a threat. They're like, oh, you must be proud you serve. And I was like, yes, yes, I am. But I'm sure you can relate to this, right? Like when you're on a date with a guy, which I didn't know at the time, with a little boy who was not assertive and was not a strong man, who's still a little boy grown up. But they want to be the protectors. And when they know that you know weapons better than them, they know you know what calibrations mean, they know that you could run, that you know, it scares little boys away. But I got to say, those were such blessings. Fly away, boy. Fly away. I got me a strong man now, honey.
Well, I actually didn't date any civilian guys while I was in. But after leaving, I have. And actually, I've been pretty lucky. Like most of the guys that I've ever dated, and I'm like, hey, I'm a veteran. They're like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, that's really impressive. So I've been really lucky, but I know that there are such weak men out there. I've seen it
with
my friends and my girlfriends when they have those kinds of issues with guys. So I feel you.
But let's define it then, because right now it's just abstract. So I would say a strong man is a person who actually knows that they are enough, that they have everything that they have, and that they're a whole person, and a whole person identifies that you understand your boundaries, that you have them, and these are the boundaries that cannot be crossed. Now, a weak man
is okay with them.
Yes, and that the woman who he's with also has those boundaries, because she's a strong, assertive woman who knows how to be treated kindly and will not expect anything less. Mm-hmm. So a weak man is someone who would either intimidate a woman, want to intimidate a woman, control a woman, be overly controlling, I should say, and who feels that they have to be
the big man
in an intimidating role set. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what leadership is, when they have no idea.
Oh my God. That is so true.
I learned my lessons.
Well said. So ladies, if you're out there and you're recognizing any of those red flags, this is the moment where you need to look within and see if you are with the right kind of man for you, girl. The right kind of man for you. Know your worth.
Yes. I didn't know my value before. I used to attract men that weren't kind, and I was like, what am I doing? I had to look at myself. What am I doing? Because I am the only common denominator in all this. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that's attracting them, because I'm the one who's accepting them. Why am I accepting these men into my life? It's not that they just happened to be with me and then change. No. They were always like this. And the truth is, I ignored everything. I knew it. At the end, when the relationship went its separate ways, I would always say, I knew it. And I had to question myself, why do I always know it? And I never listened to it.
Not listening to your intuition and ignoring the red flags. I said this actually on, I don't know if I've mentioned it on about Hot Topics on the Female Veterans podcast yet, but I have another show called Hot Topics. It is on my Facebook page called Hot Topics Live. It comes on Thursdays at 3:30 Eastern. And recently we were discussing this and we were talking about when you're single and you want to be in a relationship with a guy and you're seeing all the red flags, but you want the relationship or the guy's really cute or whatever the reason may be, you will sometimes ignore your intuition and the red flags that you're seeing and accept the relationship. And then it doesn't work and you get heartbroken. Mm-hmm. The guy's horrible and you're thinking at the end of it, why did I accept him? And you weren't in alignment. So a lot of people, they just don't wait to find someone they align with. Or the purpose of dating, in my opinion, is to see if you align with someone. And when you start to realize that you don't, because there's too many red flags, know your value enough to go, this is a boundary. I'm walking away. I'm not going to accept, you know, there's plenty of fish in the sea. I'll keep looking or be okay with being alone until you find someone. But each time, at least this is what I do. I now that I'm wiser, check to see if we're aligning, and if we're not, then maybe we should just be friends. And if we shouldn't even be that, then I'm ready to walk away from anything that is not good for me. And so I hope that other women will do the same. As you know your worth and your value, walk away from things that don't align with what you truly want. Because when you're crying and you're sad and you're miserable, it's an indication that you're not in alignment with what you're really wanting. But I don't want to go too far off on that because this is about you. It's a scary story. So let's bring it back. So you did have those experiences in the military with, we'll call them weak guys. And that had to be difficult. But how were your relationships with your military brothers like in your unit? Did you guys all get along? Did you have problems, any problems or obstacles you had to face as a woman in the military? Or was it all good for you?
Oh, I'd love to meet the person that everything was good. I would love to meet that person. How was that possible?
I've had a few on the show.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Unless they only were in for 1 year, I would say that's a possibility. But especially during wartime, I joined during wartime. I mean, the real wartime is at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so when you had asked me, was it more women or more men? I've never been in a unit where there's mostly women. And because of that, my relationship with men, I understood I had to keep it professional. I'm working with these guys and I had to lay it down that this is strictly professional. So my relationship was very like, we'd go to the gym, like, you done with that? How many more sets? That was it. We didn't get into it. Because I when I would get too relaxed, I realized it put me in bad positions. Because I'm still a female. And women and men are different. And you make us work together in close-knit environments, it gets strange. It just does.
It's and you're not quite beautiful, too.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. There's not a good thing. It's just different, right? Because when you're with your – when females are with females, there's that energy. When men are with men, there's that energy. And then you mix that together. It's a different energy. It just is. Totally. It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. And then you – so – it was difficult in the sense that, you know, they just look at me and in their minds, they believe I can't do it, you know, like stuff like that. Or they look at me and if it's not a physical thing, it would be like a mental thing, like regardless of what it was like, prove it to me. And I was like, I don't prove anything to you. I'm here. The uniform I'm wearing is proof enough. Wow. And if I mess up, okay, I messed up, my bad, let me pick this shit up, you know, like, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, one person, you know what, I take it back, I do know someone who says that they had it easy. I have met that person. I've worked alongside a female like that. And I have to say, I feel I know why. But I'm going to keep that to myself. I'll keep that to myself. I believe I know why. Your heart feels my heart, so we know why.
Yeah. I'm just sipping tea and giving shady side eye. But I'm not going to say anything because I don't know this person.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But, you know, that's the only way to make it easier, you know.
Yeah. So, so tell me, like, how did you overcome feeling like judged as a woman by all these guys that you worked with?
Okay. I would love to say I overcame all of those obstacles. I would love to admit to you truthfully that I overcame it. Mm-hmm. You know, after 1, 2, 3 years that passed, I still believe I overcame it, but I am filled with BS because I found out later, I didn't even overcome anything. I just, or overcome, or how do I keep the confidence in me that I don't have to have it? It's more of it, because when I got out of the military, I realized I was scared. You know, I was scared. I was angry. My behavior, I realized coming out, I really had to change things because the way I was being was not, it wasn't working in the civilian world. The way I have been conditioned to behave, mm-hmm. it wasn't working. And because of that, I was scared. I was jealous. I was angry. And those are all qualities that I thought I had disputed. Your question was, how did I overcome these obstacles? Mm-hmm. And I was telling you, I never overcame any of them. I still have them. They're still in me, but I've learned to control them, I would say. And so when I got out, I saw that I was more defensive. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very rigid, you know, and that's what we, you know, just to keep up with the guys, really. As females, we are honestly just keeping up with the guys. We are. Mm-hmm. And because that's who we're around. It's not a bad thing. We just want to be better, right? So, and that's not to say we want to be like the guys. We just need to, like, you know, run that mile just at the same times that you do.
Or better.
Yes, exactly. And so, because
it's, you know, like sometimes a spoken or unspoken pressure that mm-hmm. we, just as women serving, I think, feel in the military to just have to be as good, if not better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so definitely feel that.
But, you know, I came out, I didn't realize it, but I later on I realized I was being defensive, I was jealous, and I was scared. I was always defensive. Like, if someone spoke to me, I would always feel like I had to defend myself, because that's what I practiced, right?
Right.
Like, whenever a superior would ask you a question or question your abilities, you had to be defensive or else you would be walked over. So that just doesn't, it's not needed in the civilian world, because you could actually, you're not going to get an Article 15. You're not going to be sent to the Briggs. You're not going to get anything. You're not going to get a counseling statement. But I still feel like I need to defend myself. Hold up. Yeah. So I still have that at times, because, you know, I am fresh out. I still have a lot of traits that aren't even needed. And, just being jealous, you know, wanting something that others have. The military actually slows down everything. It puts your whole life on pause. Your military career, the military life, is completely different from your civilian life. And because it's completely different from your civilian life, that means you had no civilian life. Mm-hmm. In those times that you were in. So all that time you were in, you got to catch up in the civilian world. Because, you know, they stop you from really progressing. They stop time for you. And I was jealous. I was like, you're where I wish I was, but I was, you know, serving. You know,
I was going to ask you, why were you jealous and of who? But thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, and you know, I just, but I realized now, and when I say now, I really mean like a year ago, I have nothing to be jealous of. I have nothing to be defensive of. I have nothing to be angry at. But these are things that just like existed in my mind only for me because I felt it, because I felt that I wasn't enough. So just, you know, self-deprecating, you know, low self-esteem, insecurities just rushed through me because everything I earned was taken away. You know, all those badges I earned, meaningless. All those ribbons I earned, meaningless. This uniform I can't even wear, meaningless. You know, when you went in, you're like, oh, how'd you do on your PT? I can't say that anymore. Meaningless. Like, no one cares how about my fitness anymore, but my man. It was a whole group activity. How you doing? You know, like no one. So it was, you know, all those insecurities just went right into me because I was like, who am I gonna, what now, what? Like my whole life just switched. As soon as my time was up, I was meaningless.
Oh, you're not.
You know what I mean though, right?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, like as soon as your ETA day comes, you are not allowed in. No ID. We'll take it from you. But I know you. No, no ID.
Bye.
Bye. I just want to go to the PX. Nope. Can't even buy a candy. Nope.
No.
Can't get, you could get gas. We'll take you. You could get gas. But yeah, like, and I was like, man. And you feel meaningless. It's like, wow, everything is stripped. So I had a huge amount of insecurities, and like in our little, you know, we talked on the side. There's so much more opportunities for male civilian, male transitioning males, and there are opportunities for transitioning females. I mean, the VFW, sure, but that's still male. You know, and plus those are 50 plus year old males too. So
yeah.
They don't want me in there. But yeah, just having a community of women vets that can actually talk and express, you know, things that happen. Cause it's going to be, it's drastically different from a male vet storyline.
Yes.
We can talk to a male vet and still have camaraderie and still have empathy, but they can never understand the female side.
It's true. It's true. And I love all veterans. I love my veteran brothers. I actually had, I'm still friends with a lot of the guys and a lot of guy friends, even
you're
though
too.
As a hospital corpsman, you know, there were tons of women everywhere. I was in one of those fields where there were so many women and I had girlfriends and I had but way more guy friends, and they protected me and they kept me safe. And I always shout them out because we were in often situations where things could have gone wrong and things went really bad for me, but my guys always protected me. And so I love male veterans, but it's different for my sisters. It's different what we experience because aside of that, there is just the fact that we are unique and we are in this male environment and we have all this pressure to exceed performance, you know, and then we have other things that we have to deal with like hostility or misogyny or harassment or stalking or like there's so many other elements that can be mixed in there as a woman that it's just a very unique experience. And it is the exact point of this podcast to bring us together and to share our stories because people don't know what we experience as women in the military. Yeah. So I love that everything you're saying, and especially about coming out and finding those veteran females. This is what the community is about. Okay. So in your story, you are talking about being out and all your struggles, you know, coming out and transitioning. Now that you've been out for how long now? Like almost 2 years?
Just about a year and a half.
Okay.
So we're in January, February, March, April, May. Wow. Yes. It's been a year and a half.
Wow.
And I can't believe it. I feel so sad saying that. I feel like I'm telling you when I got a divorce. It's been a year and a half, girl. We've been away from each other. I don't know how they're doing.
how are you doing now with it? How are you coping with that, coming through all of those emotions that you were feeling? You said you still have some residual, but like, how are you, like defensiveness, you said you still had some of that you were working through, but everything else, how are you working through that now? How are you feeling?
As a whole, I am blessed to have wonderful people in my circle. And if it wasn't for my friends who are still in, I got to say, I don't know how I would have done this without a community. I mean, we are bred for community. We as human beings need a community. We're built for small, tight villages to prosper. And if I didn't have my village, I don't see how I would have made it, because it was hard. It was really hard. And, but I had a vision already. So as I was getting out, I was already like making strides to build my civilian life. So while I was in, everybody out there, while you're in, about to get out, build your civilian life. You can't just like flop out. You can't. You will hurt. You got to plan it. I'm here for it. So I can absolutely give you the direction on how to build that transition. Those FRGs, they're good spirit, but they really, because they were never in, they really can't tell you how to get out. They're just going to say like, oh, you could apply for this, apply for that. Don't apply for anything. Build it yourself. Right? Because when you go to the, you know, every branch has a transitioning course that you have to go through before getting out.
Like TAPS.
Yeah.
I feel you.
You know, no, they were made by civilians. They need to be made by a veteran.
I agree. Oh my God. Do I ever agree? I will tell you.
That's going to be my course.
There you go. I sat next to an officer. And as he was getting, we were going through the TAPS class, and he was just talking to me, and he was like, you need to do this, you need to do that. And he was giving me all these really good tips, you know, when I was sitting in TAPS class. And after I got out, I didn't think about all of this wonderful advice he gave me. I went through my TAPS course, and I proceeded with my plans that I made after I got out. And about 3 years later, when I was nearly homeless and and about to, you know, and left penniless by my ex-husband, I start thinking about stuff. It came back to me, and I'm like, you know what? He told me all this really, these really good tips, because I'm a disabled vet, and I'm like, and now I'm gonna use them. I'm going to use them. And so it actually really ended up helping me in the end. So I agree with you 1,000% that a veteran should be making these courses and helping other veterans transition out.
That's my course. But we'll talk about that later on. So yeah, you know, I have to say one of the most, the thing that holds people back is depending on others. Mm-hmm. And that course was apply for this, apply for that. It was basically saying, you're not going to make it. Let me show you how to depend on others to give you some extra cash. Let's do it this way. You can absolutely succeed. You just need a vision, not even a plan. You need a vision, and then you can plan it, because you can't make a plan without a vision. You need to have the vision first, analyze it, get cracking on who do I talk to, who do I need to talk to, and even reach out to people who you wouldn't even think would have anything to do with you. But everybody knows somebody. They just don't know that they know them to have resources. And this is when you succeed. You only make strides when you break out of your comfort zone. So what the military does is keep you in a comfort zone. They're like, oh, we'll give this to you. We'll give that. By the way, you're not giving shit to me. It came with the job, right? I got how to finish a shit in order for me to get the shit, right? So we'll give this to you. We'll give that to you. Like, oh, you'll give me. Oh, thank you so much. I needed it so bad. And then you get out and the transition was, here, now that we gave you this, we're going to stop giving it to you. But here, now you can get it from this person. Stop being a taker. Be a giver. That's the only way you get more. So, I had to fuck up a whole lot in order. I'm sorry. Can I say that here?
You can say what you want. Right. We're veterans.
My bad. I'm so sorry. Who's offended?
You can say what you want.
Oh, that girl. I can't believe she said that. Oh, okay.
I don't think I have a clean episode yet. Maybe I do. But we're veterans. I mean, I'm Navy. Come on.
So the way it works is, you absolutely have the power to succeed. I just didn't realize it till after I got out. Yeah.
Wow. That's beautiful. And I love everything you said there, actually. It was really, really powerful and motivational, I think, really inspirational. And actually, I usually ask this question last, but I'm going to ask it next because you were just giving us all some really solid advice, really amazing advice. And so I'm going to ask you, do you have any more advice, tips, tricks, or strategies for our veteran sisters that can help them thrive in life?
I got plenty.
Let's hear it, girl. Give it to me.
One of which I'm going to start off with is that you need to push through your fear. You're always going to have fear. You're always going to have it. You're going to be fearful of so much. You need to just keep pushing through it. I know this doesn't really make sense now, but you're going to feel fear when you get out. So you're going to feel fear that you're stuck in a situation. Let me tell you, the only answer for most questions in life, the answer is going to be either I stick to this mindset or I get better. That's always going to be it. That's for most debilitating questions. Most, if not all, it's always going to be, the answer is going to be either I change my mindset or I get better. I'm going to give you an example. So let's say that, yeah, you know, let me give you, my brain is like, there's several examples, choose one. One example will simply be like, if you just, you know, you're not getting the benefits at your workplace. You're actually, let's say you work at Target now, right? You were wearing uniform, getting respected. Now you're at Target and you're at the checkout counter. Target, I love you. You're great. I'm just giving an example. Don't get butt hurt. Okay. So you're at the checkout counter. You're not getting all the benefits you were. You're not getting all the praise. You know, you're not getting like, oh, thank you for your service, checking out my Target gear. You know, like you're not getting that. Either you change your mindset and say like, wow, I'm so glad I'm here. Like, I really want to be at Target. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to become a manager, or like, I don't even know what the ranks are over there, but I'm a district manager. I don't even know what. I watch TV. That's the only reason I know these words. I don't even know the words. I don't know. Someone's headquarters, working at headquarters at Target. Okay. Like, either you change your mindset and you guys just keep like progressing in Target, or you get better and you decide, I want out of Target and I'm going to make my own route. That's just like an example. If you can't relate to that, you could bring it to love. You have this man in your life, women who love women, my bad. I'm straight. I'm just going to say men. All right. Follow along. So
we're cool with everybody here.
We love them all. I want to integrate. I'm all about integration. Okay. Just follow along. So if there is a man and you're just so unhappy, you're just, you know, he's not giving you attention. You know, he's not calling you. He's always making excuses not to see you, stuff like that. He's mean. Stuff like that. And my head wants to go into like this whole exaggerated thing, but you know, we'll keep it like, you know, Disney. That's not even Disney. Nickelodeon. Shit, I don't know. Anyways. But if you're not happy. You either change your mindset and just be happy with where you are. I mean, and keep like keeping stagnant, stay stagnant in your life, right? Because that's it, right? You either stay stagnant or you move forward, right? I would say that if you were to move forward, you'd get rid of them, you would walk away, and just trust in yourself that you are going to be the right fit for the right man. Because the truth is, you're not happy, and you have the complete power to switch that. You do. You don't think you do because you've been conditioned to believe that you're wrong. But now you're an adult. You're a grown woman. Change that. You change it by moving forward. You got to push through the discomfort because growth comes in discomfort. Like even if you're in a happy, beautiful relationship, there's still discomfort because you're two different people. There's always going to be discomfort. But if you don't push through it, you're either going to continue being miserable or you grow and prosper. You choose. You actually get to fucking choose. You actually get to fucking choose, man. Choose that shit. Be happy. Choose fucking happiness.
Choose.
Damn. You get to choose.
There's power in choice. There's so much power in choice. Oh, yes.
I just got told to keep it down, please.
We're live. This is what happens when you're doing a podcast live.
Knock, knock, man. I haven't had one of those in a while. Okay. My bad. I got excited.
That's right. I got excited too, though. So that's amazing. Because you're right. You're so right. There is power in your ability to choose which direction you want. At any moment, you make one choice, and just like that, your whole life changes.
Whole fucking life changed. It was just like choosing to enlist. That wasn't an easy decision. That wasn't easy.
No.
It wasn't easy at all. And you were like, man, what am I going to do in the summer? You weren't going to do shit, but still, what am I going to do in the summer? Well, this and that. You had no plans, but you're like, I don't know. It's such a commitment, you know?
Yeah.
I watched G.I. Jane. I don't know if I want to do that, you know?
G.I. Jane, though.
God, yeah. So you do have a choice. I, you know, believing you have no choice comes from a very depleting part of yourself that, you know, is you are the only one stopping you. When you were a child, the world was able to stop you. You were a child. That was you as a child. You're a grown adult now. Now you are fully responsible for your own life and your own direction. And every choice you make, whether it's left or right, you are choosing this direction. You are responsible for your own results. You are stepping in the position you are right now because of every choice you made. And I did not change my life until I realized that I am standing right here unhappy because of every route I chose. Mm-hmm. And I chose happiness.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That is amazing advice. And I want to thank you so much for it. And before we wrap it up, I want to ask you one more question. And that is, tell us everything you're doing right now, because you have businesses and you are an amazing person doing amazing things. And I don't want to forget anything. So first, actually I lied. I have two questions. First, tell me what you're doing, everything you're doing, your business.
So I work as a massage therapist and I wanted to keep being kind. I realized I wasn't kind to myself. So I wanted to be kind to myself so I can attract kindness. It was a completely selfish act. I actually joined the military because I thought this was a kind thing to do. So what I did in the military is no different from what I'm doing now in my civilian life. I'm still being kind. The difference is now I'm being kind to myself. That's the only difference. And now I want that kindness to expand. I like people to in the massage world to emulate what I do by giving forward to the community. Social responsibility, it's not just about being kind to one another. It's actually good for business. When you implement yourself into the community and the community sees that you are helping out, they're going to want to support you. Not because you're good at what you do, but because you're doing it for others. And I would really love to see that happen. So I decided, how can I get people to emulate what I do? I have to serve them somehow. So I build a course, 6 steps to a 6-figure income. It is for massage therapists outside of school, freshly graduating. That is my niche market, is, you know, freshly graduated massage students, so that they don't lose their place. Because, like, you know, going into the military, you have a vague idea of what's actually going on until you get into you actually, like, get out of boot camp, and you're like, oh, this is actually how it is.
Yeah.
So when I got out of massage, I really didn't realize how much people were going to take advantage of me. When I say people, other businesses, you could go to like high-end spas and still get paid minimum wage, and they'll give you incentives to stay with them. These incentives do not pay anything because you still got minimum wage. You could still make a lot more money if you're an independent contractor or a self-employed, leasing out your own office space, even renting a room, and still make a lot more money than you would ever make working for someone else. You need to feed yourself before you feed others. And if someone is not feeding you well, you can't possibly feed others. So I realized that I was being taken advantage of. So I quickly changed the trajectory of my business plan so that I was able to get those 6 figures under my belt. I had no idea how I did it. I planned it and it happened. And now I have the answers because I made many mistakes. And because I made so many mistakes, I can tell you how not to make it. But let me tell you, discrepancy, you're still going to fuck up. You still are. You just are. And because you just will. It's called learning. You got to find out your route. But while you're finding out your route, be on the right track. I have a route. I got a track that you can be on, and then you can mold it to how you need to get there. Do you get it? Like, I'm not promising shit. If you don't make your 6 figures, fuck. It was my bad. But at least I'm like telling you, this is what you do. This right. is how I got there. Because you're not going to make it minimum wage. You're not going to. And you don't deserve that. You deserve success. I got to say, one of the biggest lessons I've learned recently, because I'm always looking to find myself, prosperous, personal development is so vitally important to me. In every relationship I have, I need to know that my partner is also seeking personal development, because the whole thing is to continue to prosper, continue to grow, knowing that you are still in a work in progress. And I understood that a lot of my faults in life came because I believe I didn't deserve it. I thought, oh, I don't deserve this, or, you know, I don't deserve this rank. I don't deserve this reward. You know, it's, you know, they gave it to me because I just did this. No, I worked at it. I worked at it. I earned it, and I earned to make money. I deserve this. I deserve to travel the world. I deserve to have an amazing man in my life who loves me abundantly. I tell my man daily, I deserve you. And I tell him he deserves me because I'm an amazing woman. He's so lucky.
You are. He is lucky.
He is lucky. So lucky. And he earned me because he worked on himself. And had I not worked on myself, I would never have attracted a man of his caliber. I'm so in love with him. Not because he's cute, even though he's gorgeous. But he's kind to himself. And because he's kind to himself, he could be kind to me. And because I am kind to myself, I could be kind to all my clients. I am deserving of what I have. And because of that, I absolutely understand and have the utmost passion that my clients deserve it too. So when they are a part of my course, 6 steps to 6 figures, they're going to get me. They're not just going to get a write-up. We're going to talk. They're going to get my time. They're not going to just read like a script. No, we're going to talk. We're going to actually have time together. We're going to like what's stopping you? What do you feel stopping you? All right, let's get out of this. Because you either change your mindset or you get better. So whoever wants to get better, come to me. Get on my course. Let's change it. The other course that's coming up is catered towards veterans. It's specifically catered towards veterans. What is not out there today is a female like you and I who are really reaching out. Because the only people who are actually reaching out are like six-year-old men who are like, come on, guys, let's go. Let's go where? Where am I going? So, yeah, there's not young women like you and I who are out there like, let's get this community going. Mm-hmm. Take my hand. I can lead you. I can lead you out of the dark spaces. You just have to be willing. Because in the dark, there's a lot of demons, and we got to fight through those demons. And since I battled my demons, I can help you and be arm in arm with you. Don't leave anyone behind, right? So I don't want to. I'm so loyal to the branch. You know, whenever they say like it's one branch against the other, it's never been that way. That's only a recruiting strategy. It's mm-hmm. never, ever been that way. It's just them getting their numbers, all those salesmen. Because we're all the same. We all fall under DOD. So, I mean, your sergeants are my superiors as well. Your sergeants. I don't know what you call them. But, you know, your higher enlisted are my higher enlisted.
My chiefs and master sergeants. Yeah.
I got to salute your officers. You have to salute my officers, right?
Yeah, so they're all the same.
They're all the same.
Just different words.
Different words, shit. It was all a recruiting strategy.
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, first of all, you've got to hear a lot of Baby Lee's personality. And if you feel her energy and you vibe with her and her humor and her charm, then you have to, if you know a massage therapist that is just getting out of school, you have a niece, a granddaughter, a daughter, somebody, a son, grandson, nephew, whoever you know that is in massage school right now, then you have to run and connect them to Baby Lee for her new program, because I really feel like working one-on-one with her would be really effective. So, and she's kind. We learned that she's really kind. So, and I love that. So, why don't you tell us where we can find you? Give us all your social media and, or your website, or how can we find you?
So
I will put all the links in the show notes in the description box, so you can find it easier.
So right now, I have a website. It's called themassageclinic.net. You would get on my subscription, and by there, you would just get email updates from me. There's also the 6 steps to 6 figures linked in it. Go ahead and click on that. If you have more questions, you can always email me directly at themassageclinic@gmail.com. So I will give you all that information, themassageclinic@gmail.com. You can also get me at my email address, because sometimes I'm going through understanding the email system with MailChimp. So right now you can also get me directly at b.g.lee510@gmail.com. That's for our veterans out there who actually want to be a part of my community. And also, if you have people who are currently in the service who are transitioning out, get at me, because my course is being structured. We are getting it tight so that we can honor your life, because I definitely don't want to put out something that I don't believe in. And I'm really getting other people involved in this so that we can honor our brothers and sisters out there who are getting out and who are currently just seeking help, who are out.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. And it's so, 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 so needed. And if there's anything I can do to help, girl, you know, I got you. And so with that, I think we're going to wrap it up. And I just want to say for anybody listening, aside of, you know, if you have family and friends that are in massage school or just out of massage school, if you've got family and friends, nieces, nephews, kids that are in the military right now, this program that Baby is creating is going to be so incredibly helpful for them to not have to face a lot of the issues that we faced transitioning out. For those of us that had a big transition that was really, really hard and really, really difficult. And you know how many of our brothers and sisters end up on the streets. Let's stop that from happening. And maybe part of the way we can stop that from happening is by tackling it before they get out and helping them to have strategies for success before they even leave the military. So if you've got family that is active right now, share this information with them. And of course, I will put it all in the description box and every way you can get a hold of Baby Lee. And with that, I want to just say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for coming on this show and spending your valuable time with me, because we know you're busy. You got all these businesses you're working on, and not to mention traveling around and massaging veterans all over the world for volunteer work. So that's so incredible. And you're such a good human being. And I'm so glad I met you. And you got to come on and tell us your story and give such amazing advice. So thank you for coming on.
It was such an honor. Thank you for having me on here. I'm very honored to be a part of this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much again. And with that, you guys, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you for taking time to listen as always, and for sticking with me and coming on this journey with me, because who knows where it's going to lead, right? But we're going to stick together. And I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next time.